Freilich of Shushan Purim. Shushan Purim means that we're in the intersection of the zones of two Yom Tovim. Still Bimei HaPurim, and we're already fully into Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag. Some of the posts can speak about Hanhaga Tova to already begin learning Hilchos Pesach at the Sudas Purim. Shloshim Yom Kodem HaRegel. I want to take the opportunity today to seize a sugya that's the overlap of both. The overlap of both in Yane Megillah and in Yane Leil HaSeder. Maseches Pesachim is one of those mesechtas that is organized chronologically. Different chunks of Mishnayos, where there's a chronological scheme, a chronological order where the Mishnahs go through a process step by step. You have one paragraph of Bikurim that's like that. It gives you the whole Seder of Bikurim, of choosing the Bikurim, bringing the Bikurim. You have a section of Masechta Sota that's like that. It walks you through the whole process of Ashkas HaSota. Almost all of Yuma is like that. 7 out of 8 Prakim, at least officially, are the Seder Avodah of Yom Kippurim. The last parak is about Halachas Anoig Bizman Hazeh. Maseches Pesachim might be, in a certain sense, the largest of any chronological order in all of Shisha Sedra Mishnah. The entire Masechta, it's 10 prakim. The whole Masechta, at least in principle, is arranged chronologically. As you probably remember, the Maseches Pesachim opens Arlar Ba'aser, opens the Dinim of Bedikas Chametz that are the night of Erev Pesach, and then over the next number of Prakim work through into the morning of Erev Pesach and the Dinim of Bir Chametz, the fourth parak or Minhagim that relates to Erev Pesach, whether you do Malach or not in the morning, and the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth Prakim are all about Karban Pesach, which is predominantly Erev Pesach afternoon, even though the ninth paragraph is about Pesach Sheni, and sort of slides in on the coattails. And finally, started in the night of Erev Pesach, and then worked to the morning of Erev Pesach. The dinim of Karban Pesach, the afternoon of Erev Pesach, ironically, only in the last parak do the Mishnayos officially get up to Pesach itself. In theory, all of Maseches Pesachim is about Erev Pesach, up until and including the beginning of the last parak. So you saw the opening Mishnah of the last parak, Daf Tzadi Tess, Amud Beis, bridges from Erev Pesach afternoon into Leil HaSeder. And the balance of Arvei Pesachim is going to be about the dinim of Leil HaSeder. About Matz and Mar, Sifitzi and Sisraim, some more about Karban Pesach. So here we have, take a look at Tzadi Tess Amud Beis. 3 dinim in the opening mission of the last parak. The first din is still about Erev Pesach, and then the middle and last dinim, the second and third dinim, already about Leil HaSeder. It's interesting to see where the dinim of Pesach actually begin. Where the dinim of Leil HaSeder begin? Erev Pesachim or Arvei Pesachim. Here we are in Tzadi Tess Amud Beis. Erev Pesachim Samach Lemincha. Din number 1, Erev Pesach afternoon, the Jew is very limited in terms of what and how he eats. Apipashtus, it's as Rashi tells us, Rashbam quotes it as well, that you want to have a little bit of an edge of hunger going into Leil HaSeder. You don't want to come into Leil HaSeder full, and then you're not excited to eat matzah. You want to come into Leil HaSeder with an edge of hunger, so that you're going to eat the matzah l'teyavon, and that will be what's the value of matzah l'teyavon? Hidr mitzvah. Azay state in Rashi. Kedei sheyocho matzah shal mitzvah l'teyavon. You should eat the matzah Leil HaSeder with appetite, with gusto. Nishum hidr mitzvah. So mitzvah mehudaras if you're eating it with excitement. Okay, that's din number 1. You, as an aside, the Gemara very quickly raises the question, how about Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, other than Pesach? And that launches a whole conversation about Kiddush and Havdalah. There could be some of you in years past have learned the beginning of Arvei Psachim are, ironically, it's neither Brachas nor Shabbos, but Psachim, where you have the densest conversation about the dinim of Kiddush and Avdalah. Shows up elsewhere also, but this is the main address in the Talmud Bavli for Kiddush and Avdalah, the opening blot of Arvei Psachim. And then you have the second din and the third din. The second din, Afilu Arisha Beisrael, Ayochal Chiyaseh. Finally, we begin Leila Seder itself. Finally, after 9+ Prakim, Mishnayos begin to officially talk about the actual Yom Tov HaGamatzos. The first din is Haseba. No Jew, even the poorest Jew should not eat until he does Haseba. That is the central din, the Mishnah. And the last din is V'yifchasu lo me'arba kosa shel yayin afilu min ha'tamchui. And even the poorest Jew, when they give him from Tamchui, you may have touched on this early in the year, when you learned the first part of Bava Basa, you probably came across this, different types of tzedakah, public tzedakah collections, the tkufas chazal, arayom hazeh, but the technology is different. They used to have a kupa, was a weekly collection of cash, from the people who live in the town, l'tzarech aniyim. Tamchui, which is literally a dish, a plate, was a daily collection of food. The Gabbai Tzedakah would go around collecting food from all the people in town to hand. This is before refrigeration. So you collect their fresh food and you gave it out that day. It was every single day, collect food and hand it out to Anim on a daily basis. So even someone who's mamish, the poorest of the poor, Nebuch, not only the Misparnas bin Hakupa from the weekly collection of cash, but even is living off of the daily collection of food, the Gabbai Tzedakah has to make sure, even the Ani Shebi Yisrael has to make sure that come Pesach, every Jew who's being mitparnes from the kupa, from the tamchui rather, is getting not only matzah, but 4 cups of wine. Okay? So even the poorest Jew does haseba, even the poorest Jew has to have arba kosos. Now, thinking about the censored din a little bit, the fact that these are the first dinim of Pesach, Mimelo spoke about matzah and chametz early in the Masechta, but that was officially in the context of Erev Pesach. It's fascinating. And the official discussion of Leil HaSeder, we didn't start with matzah, we didn't start with mar, we didn't start with Sipitiyas Mitzrayim. The rest of the parak will mostly be chronological, taking you through the Seder. But perhaps you all, as you tell, the first coast and the second coast and Magid, so on and so forth. But perhaps also, as we saw in Gittin, Chazal had a penchant for starting with Din Drabanan. There's a special chavivus to the Din Drabanan, in which we, Kalal Yisrael, is the most involved in not only discovering the Dinim, but actually developing and inventing the dinim, the dinim drabanan. So maybe that's how we start. But now to look at Haseba specifically. So Afilu Ani Shebi Yisrael Lo Yochal Achi Yasev. 7 words. All the Mishnah says 7 words about Haseba. How much do those 7 words teach you about Haseba before you even get to the Gemara? What are the dinim of Haseba in the Mishnah?
It shows the freedom.
Okay, good. It shows number one you're chayav to do Haseba. We'll get to what you're saying in a moment. You're already advanced. That's amazing. Number one, there's a chiyuv haseba. Number two, how do you see what Eitan is saying from the Mishnah? Haseba is an expression of freedom from the Mishnah itself.
Even an ani has to do it.
All right, even an ani. You don't say, even an ani has to say kriya shema. Even an ani. Right, of course. Why would an ani be any different? Elamai. And Mimela, the Arba Kosos, I understand. Because someone has to fund it. He can't pay, even though he can't pay for it, so the Tzibur has to pay for it. So I understand that people who should be strong in the context of Arba Kosos. But in the context of Haseba, Haseba doesn't cost money. I mean, if you want to have a comfortable Haseba, okay. But the Gemara is going to later on say, you have to lean on something that can even be leaning on the knees of the guy next to you. You can all sit in a circle. The Gemara describes it as a yeshiva where they didn't have so much furniture. It sounds like they all sat in a circle, everyone leaned on the pal next to them. Okay? So, Haseba is free. So, what do you mean, I feel I should be Yisrael? Correct, Eitan. The answer is, apparently, there's something. It's not just about the money. But you could have imagined that it's silly. It would be meaningless. I could have imagined, well, the honey's going to lean over as like wearing a tie with your pajamas. Well, what does that mean? Haseba was an expression of aristocratic living. Like, you know, you go to the fancy restaurant, you go to a fancy chas, and they go to a fancy restaurant, or you've seen pictures, or you heard, right? And you show up, and there's three knives and three forks and multiple, a lot of plates, a very fancy table setting. You sit down at such a table, you know already this is high-end living. I'm not advocating for high-end living, I'm not advocating against high-end living. But just Metzias, it's clearly a high-end table setting. So that's Bizman Hazeh. But Kufas Chazal, part of a high-end table setting, was Haseba. You want to explore the history of Greco-Roman eating, Greco-Roman cuisine, sitting the Haseba is not something that Chazal invented. That was aristocratic eating. That's how people, high-end people, ate. They ate a formal meal, the Haseba. Everyone had their own little table next to their couch, chaise longue or something like that, and you were lying on your couch and eating, and once you get the hang of it, apparently it's very comfortable. Shmash, it's spitz. Stolzi. So Chazal said, we're mechayev you to eat like an aristocrat, lil haseder. So that's why, so to us it doesn't, the Rav Yah, as an aside, just a footnote for now, maybe we'll come back to some other time, the Rav Yah, one of the great early German Rishonim, the Rav Yah was of the opinion that there's no Haseba Bizman Hazeh because it no longer means anything. In other words, even if you'll do Haseba, you're not Mekayim Haseba, because the Rav Yah held that the only Mekayim Haseba if you're doing a Maisa Haseba and it demonstrates Chayrus. Now it just looks funny. So Rav Yah was of the opinion there's no way to Mekayim Haseba Bizman Hazeh. We don't accept Rav Yah's opinion overall. At least men don't accept Rav Yah's opinion. And we'll come back to that later on. But that's why, coming back to what Eitan said, just appreciating the Mishnah itself. I feel means number one, Haseba Zechiv. Number two, Haseba is meant to demonstrate Cherus, such that I would have had a Hava Mina, that if you're an Ani, doing Haseba is meaningless, because it's just, it's sort of internally contradictory. So Kamashla, no, even Ani Shib Yisrael, Leila Seder, we're all Ashirim. Even if we're dressed like Aniim, for all Ashirim. We're expressed in the Pnimius, we're all B'nai Malachim, so a Chiddush. Okay. Number three, what else do you see? Another prat about Haseba. Haseba is a way of doing what? We take it for granted, but it's only because of the Mishnah. Haseba is a way of eating. Right? I could have imagined, I don't know, should do Haseba for Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, where many of us spend more time on Magid than all the eating combined. So maybe you should do Haseba when you talk. We should tell Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim Haseba. No. The Mishnah says, Lo Yochah Chiyaseh. There's a Chiv Drabban Haseba, Dafka to eat Derech Haseba. Okay. What's left unspoken, obviously, is to eat what? What are you eating Haseba? So that brings us to Kuf Ches Tamar Aleph. This is the from Tzadik Tes Tamar Beis to Kuf Ches Tamar Aleph, 8.5 blot that are dedicated to the first line of the first Mishnah. All the Kiddush and Abdal conversations that flow from the Arab Psachim. Now we're finally starting the Hilchos Leil HaSeder. You and I are about to learn the first dinim of Hilchos Leil HaSeder, Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, there's so much going on in this Gemara, we're going to try to zero in for now on the part of it which sets us up to appreciate the Purim Pesach connection. So the Gemara has the natural first question is Lo Yochel, what? As we're going to see, the other prat in the Mishnah, that a few Anshav Yisrael's mashma, that this is really a way of showing Cherus, is going to come into the conversation as well. Itma, Matzah Tzar Haseba, Mor in Tzar Haseba. What exactly are you eating by Haseba? The Amoraim said, we have no name attached to this, but the Itmar means the member of the Amoraim. Matzah needs a Seba, Moro does not. Rashi explains, Matzah is a Zecher L'Geula, Morar is a zecher to avdus, to the marid, the bitterness of the avdus. So it's thematically appropriate. It's coherent to be mesa for a matzah, but it's incoherent. Not going to be mesa while you're eating morar. That's mixing your mixed symbols. Okay. Then the Gemara wants to know, how about arba kosos? Blending the middle and the end of the Mishnah. Do you do as seba when you drink the arba kosos? Yayin. It mamashved of Nachman sarach seba. There are two different versions, two different records of what Rav Nachman said. Arbakos do need a seba, arbakos don't need a seba. Sounds like a machlokus of Talmidei Rav Nachman. Maybe he changed his mind. Maybe something was taken off context. So the Gemara says, velo pligi. Ironically, the Gemara, briefly, there's no machlokus. And there's about to be a machlokus, but how there is no machlokus. But for now, there's no machlokus. The Gemara says it's not a machlokas Talmid and what Rav Nachman say. Rav Nachman did say both. He did say tzarech haseba. He did say ein tzarech haseba. And it's not that he changed his mind. It's that there are four kosos at the Seder. So the status of the first two kosos is the opposite of the status of the last two kosos. It's about one pair of kosos he said yes. Or the other pair of kosos he said no. There's no machlokas, except that there's a later machlokas. The Gemara says, there's no machlokas between the Talmidei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was an early Amora. Rav Nachman was a Talmud of Shmuel, I believe. His second generation Amora. So in the third generation, the Talmidei Rav Nachman, like Rabba and Rav Yosef, they weren't having any machlokas, what Rav Nachman say. They knew. He had about one pair of kosi, he said, yes, tzarech haseba. The other pair of kosi, he said, no, ain't tzarech haseba. But then the Gemara says, well, there is a machlokas. What I mean, he's talking about no machlokas. No. I mean, the later Amoraim had a machlokas, how to understand Rav Nachman. We know that Rav Nachman said two of the four do need, and the other two of the four don't need. Now the Gemara says, but the later Amoraim had different versions of how you say that. At the bullet of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Amri lo hagisa. Some of the late Amoraim said in this direction, and some of the later Amoraim said in that direction. How do you mean? Amri la hagisa. Some said in this direction. Version number one of Nachman is as follows: Trei kasi kamoi boa seba. The first two kosos do need a seba. Why? The hashtahu to kamaschal acheres. Now is when the acheres is beginning. What do you mean now? Which of the first two kosos surround what mitzvah? Right, the first is the coast of Kiddush. The second coast is the coast of Fal Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. Another way of thinking about that is the first two kosos bracket the mitzvah of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. So that's when the Cheres is beginning. We're telling the story. Telling the story of Cheres. So the two kosos that surround the Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, the Magid, that's when the Cheres is happening. So we should be masiv then. Whereas, Trei Kosi Basroi, the last two, Lobo and Seba. The first version of Nachman, they don't need a Seba. Why? Maita Hava Hava. What was, it's already old news. That's already history. The first sheet to hold that the sense of Cheres is most rich, most poignantly expressed when it's happening. That's when you taste it. When it's happening. By the time you get to Hallel, the last two coasts, the coast of Benching, the coast of Hallel, the two coasts that bracket the Hallel, it's already, the initial edge of excitement has worn off. The other sheet to hold Fakert. The opposite. How Fakert? Armel Ahigisa. Meidach. To quote David. Meidach. Meidach, on the other hand, the Amir Lahegisa, some of the Amoraim said Rav Nachman the other way around. Adarabah, just the opposite. Trei Kasi Basroi, the last two Kosos, those are the ones that need Haseba. Why? Hahi Shaitit, the Kahav Yecherus. That's when the Cherus is, when the Sipri Tzis rhyme is over. Masha'ikin, Trei Kasi Kamar Lobo Haseba. Why? Akati Avad Mayinu Ka'amar. We're still saying Avad Mayinu. Oh, Meaning the first shita holds that we're going to focus most on the process of cheres. The second shita holds we're going to focus most on the product of cheres. The first shita holds that we're going to express the cheres most, we're going to be mesiv for the kostos when we're going free. The second day holds no. Dafka, once we already are free, over the course of Magid, we're still Akati Avad Mayinu Kamar. The Magid begins Avad Mayinu, we're still in the process of going free. By the way, what's the underlying assumption of this Gemara? And it's a line that we say in our Magid, which is drawn from a Mishnah later in this parak, as are many of the key lines in Magid are drawn from Mishnayos later in Reb Zachim. But what's the underlying assumption about what Magid is? Good, good, good. And tell me about the experience. That I understand. But the Gemara is assuming actually that you say. Oh, then in going through the order, you're saying the story, you're also reliving the story. Chayv Adam. Exactly. Kil yatsa atim yishiv mitzrayim. Chayv Adam liris is atzmo. Our gears. Rama is different gears. Good. We'll get to that billionaire some other time. Chayv Adam liris is atzmo. So the Gemara is saying, you're mamish reliving it. The Gemara's language is so evocative. The chayrus is happening now. Oh, the chayrus hasn't yet happened. Meaning, if you're really reliving the story, so then yesh la'ayin. Should I be made of more when the chayrus is unfolding? Or no, it's premature. At the beginning of the Magid, I'm still feeling enslaved. By the time we get to the last two kosas, at that point, I'm already free. So that's the Gemara Suffolk. Interesting Suffolk. Again, let's just recap a little bit halacha l'maisa, just where we're holding. What was the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying, matzah needs a seba, mara does not, arba kosos. So me'ikar adin, two out of the four kosos need a seba, and the other two kosos do not need a seba. Rav Nachman definitely said that. What the later Amaram we're not sure about is which two kosos did he give a thumbs up to, which two kosos did he give a thumbs down to. Which two kosos need a seba? So the later Amaram were cholek, whether it's the first two or the last two. As a result, so now we're not sure. So every single kosos, when you eat matzah vada, you need a seba. Well, maybe close to Pesach, we'll come back to that. There is a suffix about matzah as well in Rishonim. Not for now. But the Gemara is explicit that whatever you mean by matzah, it needs a seba, vada. But every single kosos, is there a single kosos that definitely needs a seba? No. First kosos, maybe not. Second kosos, maybe not. Third kosos, maybe not. Fourth kosos, maybe not. Two out of those four need a seba, but which two? We don't know. So what should the din be? What does the Gemara say? Everything, right? Idi ba'a seba. Hashtei ma'achi v'ir ma'achi. We have machokis amaraim. It wasn't resolved. Idi ve'idi bohu haseba. These and those both require haseba. Both require haseba. Yeah. Anything strike you as curious about that? What would you have guessed the din should be? If I'm not sure whether a given kos is chayv and haseba or not. So. Oh, Sarah and Kula. There's no Rov, there's no Chazaka, there's no Muchsuk, but there's Sarah above it. There's no Adim, Sarah and Kula. Sarah and Kula. Haseba isn't the Din Daraisa. Why is the Gemara saying Idi, the Idi, Bo, Haseba? Modna. What? Right, because well, that's the way the Suffolk is structured. Right, correct. That's how Suffolk is structured. Yeah.
Aren't there opinions like the middle school, the first one in class?
Because apparently there was clarity.
Then there would be like actual book on Suffolk.
Yeah, that's interesting. One could have imagined other opinions also. That much we know. In other words, the tradition from the Talmid Rav Nachman was that in one statement he was talking about the first two, the other statement he was talking about the last two. What got lost was. Exactly. So that, you're right. At least we know that much. We know that he said something about Kosas 1 and 2. And he said something else about Kosas 3 and 4. Who asks Eitan's question? Who asks? Rabbi Yonis. The Ram asks this question. The Ram asks his question. The Ram has two answers. How come we didn't say Safra V'Halakha? Now, what's intriguing is we're going to meet Shem, look at that. How many of you had a chance to see the Ram inside B'Chavrusa? Okay, well, how many of you had a chance to see the Ram in Megillah B'Chavrusa? Okay. So we'll open up meet Shem. No, let's take a look now. The Ram has two answers here. What happened to Safra V'Halakha? So he has an easy answer, and then he has a complicated answer. The easy answer, but it's not Lushitaso, not once. The easy answer is Safra V'Halakha is when it's you're either going to have to do something difficult or expensive. You have to eat more matzah. You have to buy more wine. So that Safra V'Halakha. I'm not sure the piece of food is kosher or treif. Safra V'Halakha. But if it's almost effortless to cover your bases, you say Sefer Ban Lahakal Litzorech, not Shalol Litzorech. So the Ram's first answer here in Pesachim, Chav Gimel Amaral B'Dap Erif, is Lav Milsa Zetirchahi. You're drinking the Arbacosis anyway. Just a question whether you're sitting up straight or leaning on the side. So Avdin L'Ravcha De Milsa. Why not cover your bases and be Mesa for all four? Sefer Ban Lahakal is when it's actually a tzorech. There's no tzorech for which to be mekel. That's similar to the non-ran approach to davar shnei shel matirin. There's something there. There's a Rashi Maseches Beitza in the Maamar Makomos. I've already took a peek. Rashi Maseches Beitza says if something's going to be mutzer tomorrow, anyways, vaday. Right now it's the safek drabban lahakel. Tomorrow it's vaday mutzer. The whole iser is only temporary. Beitza shenolda, it may or may not be, the egg may or may not be asra of the course of Yom Tov. Once Matzah Yom Tov comes, Vaday Mutter. I'm not sure if it's asra Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, you should wait. Rashi says, yeah, why are you being Mekel and Safra V'Halakha if you could just wait until tomorrow? And it's Vaday Mutter. So that's similar to here. The Ram, we'll see tomorrow, has a more delicate second answer, a more technical answer, where he explains you couldn't say Safra V'Halakha across the board and never be Mesiv, but you also can't choose arbitrarily, and that's why you have to be Machmer. What's going to be challenging is the following. In Megillah, the first parak, you have the following discussion. What do you do if you have a city that were not, if it was Hukaf, Mimos Yishua Benun, Tezvag. Not Hukaf, Yudalit. Safek Hukaf. I don't know what the history of the town is. I don't know how old, there's a very ancient wall. I'm not sure, is it 4,000 years old or 2,000 years old? Safek. What do you do? It should be the same. The Mishnah Melech points out that the Ran has a different approach to that Safek than to this Safek. And to figure that out will take us into a beautiful conversation about Torah Safek.